Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're concluding chapter 6. So we're going to start at verse 25 and read to the end of the chapter. And as I said before, we're going to return again to this particular passage in 2 weeks from now. But the focus for today is the problem of anxiety. Where does anxiety come from, and what is the solution that Jesus gives to our anxiety? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 at verse 25. That's page 965. Matthew chapter 6 at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's as far as we're reading here in Matthew 6. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a very anxious time. Particularly around the time of COVID, it has been identified as the age of anxiety. And since the year 2020, there has been a 25% rise in diagnosed anxiety in most age groups. Added to this, Generation Alpha, the youngest generation, is often referred to as the anxious generation. As Christians, we are not free from this troubling trend. There is a sense of stability that seems to be missing. There's constant news and social media. There's wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. And there's always some tragedy or something, some terror to fear. But into this pool of troubled water, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ enters and calms the waves with his presence. As we return this morning to the Sermon on the Mount, we find that Jesus is continuing to draw our eyes to bring our attention, our focus, on the things that are above. Over the last few weeks, if you have your Bibles open, you will see that Jesus has been reminding us again and again with different focus each week, reminding us that we are to look beyond the things of this present passing world. Jesus is calling us, reminding us, encouraging us to look up to heaven, to put your focus, your attention, your desire on the things that are to come. These earthly created treasures cannot save and do not last. Rather, we are to seek the treasures that are to come, the treasures that are above. Indeed, we are to seek first, as verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these other things will be surely given to us. The fact is, those who idolize the things of this world, as we saw previously laying up treasures on earth, those who idolize the treasures of this world have lives that are prone to worry, fear, and fret. What if a thief breaks in and steals? What if moths consume? What if I lose all these possessions that I have been amassing for myself? So Jesus says, don't worry about these things, but rather set your eyes, set your heart, set your focus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So today, And in 2 weeks, we're going to focus on the problem, the particular problem of anxiety. Where does anxiety come from? What are the God-given solutions that Jesus is pointing to here in our text? So we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ exposes the problem of anxiety in a busy and fallen world. The problem of anxiety in a busy and fallen world. In our first point, then, we are going to consider some of the common reasons why we are so anxious. Anxiety is a worry. It is a fear. It is an unease caused by a perceived threat or trial. Anxiety feels like a racing heart. It's a pit or a knot in your stomach. It's a general sense of doom or foreboding. It feels like a heavy weight is placed on your chest or a burden on your shoulders. It consumes your thoughts and hinders your steps. Anxiety can be caused by a whole host of things. We read earlier in Matthew chapter 8, here in the storm-cast sea, we find a perfect example of what anxiety looks like and where anxiety comes from. We have the disciples in the boat with Jesus. Jesus is sleeping and the boat is sinking. Why do you think the disciples were filled with worry and fear? Well, they're in the boat and the boat is sinking and their master is sleeping. Circumstances are beyond their control. There is a perceived threat. Well, where do we find anxiety today? Well, anxiety can come from all corners. It's an unexpected phone call. It's sitting in the doctor's office waiting for a test result to return. It's uncertainty about future events or even impending doom. Coming face to face with our own inability to fix the problem that's facing us. We don't know how to perceive. We face events beyond our control. We face hostility. People are conspiring. Events are going against us. We see the gap between our own limits and the pressing daily needs. That's why Jesus references in verse 25. Why are you anxious about your life? Anxiety about your life. Your health, your well-being causes anxiety. We live in a fallen world and our bodies are affected by this fall into sin. So we get sick and we have to deal with the consequences of sickness. What if I get sick? What if my children get sick? What if I get cancer? What will that treatment look like? Life is fragile. How do we respond to these attacks on our life? Continuing verse 25, we worry about what we will eat or drink. Now, in that particular context, there was a pressing need. You didn't always know where you would find your next meal. But for us, the problem is not so much where will we find the food, because we know the grocery stores are full. Rather, we have the anxiety of how are we going to pay for this food? Grocery stores may have plenty of food, but how will we get that provision into our home? Again, verse 28, anxiety about our clothing. Here also, it's not a question of whether or not there is clothing to be found, but how will we purchase the clothing that is necessary? We have children that continue to outgrow their shoes and pants on, it seems like, a weekly basis. How will we provide for our families? How will we meet these needs? Another visit to Walmart, $400 later you can go home. Another credit card bill, where is this money going to come from? What if I lose my job? Looking at the year to come, how am I going to come up with $13,000 per student for high school education? Where is this going to come from? How will I pay for this surgery? This surgery is $95,000. What if my insurance rejects my claim? How about my retirement? My retirement stocks have been tanking. Where am I going to have the money that I need in order to go or to live? If you live in Illinois, property taxes going up. If you live in Indiana, the price of electricity is skyrocketing. Why are you anxious? Jesus is saying. Why do you worry? Well, maybe you are getting anxious right now after going through all these things. We have many things, many causes of cares and concerns. But what's at the heart of this? What causes anxiety? Well, there are four main reasons why we get anxious. The first reason is we are anxious because we are afraid. Fear is the root of anxiety. We fear men. We fear the power of man. Or we fear the unknown. We worry about what people might think about us, or we worry about what might happen to us. We have anxiety about the future. So an ungodly or misdirected fear is the first cause of anxiety. The second cause of anxiety is we struggle with doubt. We know God's promises, yet we struggle with embracing those promises. Will God really do what he says he will do? Is God really in control of everything that happens? I know that the catechism says nothing happens outside of God's will, right? Everything is under his control. And we believe in the providence of God. Leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean year, the catechism says, all things come to us not by chance, but from the hand of a loving Father. But do we believe that? So we struggle with doubt. The third reason we are anxious is because of misplaced trust. Not only do we struggle with doubt, but we also struggle with trusting the wrong things. We want to be in control. We expect to be the ones who have the power to bring stability and peace. We look to man or our own hands to provide. We think that we are the ones who control success or happiness. It all depends on me and my wisdom. So misplaced trust is the source of anxiety. And then fourthly, we are anxious because we are impatient. We want the answers for tomorrow, today. We don't want to wait on the Lord. We know what that passage says, sufficient is today. Enough trials for today, don't worry about tomorrow, yet we want to know tomorrow's answers today. Patiently waiting is hard. So we pray for patience and we say, Lord, hurry up and give me the patience that I need. Even though Jesus says, wait, stop looking so far ahead. Sufficient are the troubles for today, but we keep worrying, thinking about the things that might be. This leads to a host of hardships. Our lives are filled with worry, fear, fret. We carry our burdens on our own shoulders, and then we put in the oar and row harder to try to get to shore. We make our own plans. We draw up our contingencies. We continue to worry about life, food, clothing, our health, all these earthly things that Jesus says are not things that will last. Jesus is not saying that they're not important, that you shouldn't spend time trying to make plans for the future, but they're not worth worrying about. So not only don't set your heart on them, don't set your anxiety upon them. They're passing, and God knows what you need, and he will give you what is needed. Rather, focus on his kingdom and his righteousness, as verse 33 continues. So those are some of the reasons why we struggle with anxiety. We come to our second point then. What is the commandment that Jesus gives concerning anxiety? Now, concerning these various sources of anxiety, what is the commandment that Jesus gives? And here the commandment is strikingly simple and shockingly hard. Jesus says, you struggle with anxiety, what's the solution? Don't be anxious. That's the solution. You struggle with anxiety, the solution is stop being anxious. And in case you miss it, Jesus says it in verse 25, again in verse 31, and even a third time in verse 34. Don't be anxious. Why be so filled with anxiety? The word for anxiety here literally is giving so much thought. Why is your heart like troubled waters? Like water going over rapids or a waterfall? Why so many cares? Why so many burdens? Do not give so much thought, focus, attention that you are worried and filled with anxiety on these things. As I said before, that is incredibly simple, but it is also surprisingly hard. But the first thing we are to do is to recognize that God does not want us anxious. Jesus is saying, your life should not be, I don't want my children, I don't want my little sheep to be so anxious. It's an act of obedience for us to say, I don't want anxiety to run my life, to ruin my life. It's an act of obedience to say, anxiety is something that Jesus doesn't want me to have. I know that I'm struggling with anxiety over this thing or that thing, but Jesus is telling me to stop. And I'm going to listen to what Jesus says. I want to obey. I want to do what Jesus says is the right and good. I want to read from Philippians 4. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And here's our focus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Notice here in verse 6 in Philippians 4, here we find the words of Jesus repeated here by Paul. Do not be anxious. Anxiety is crushing and all-consuming. If you ever had an anxiety attack, struck by anxiety, you know that it is paralyzing as it fills your heart with fear. It's hard to think. It's hard to move. Your cares, your worries, your burdens are weighing down upon you, holding you back, pressing on your chest. The fact is your worries are like a backpack full of rocks. Try to carry it around, but it ends up hindering your steps. But here we find, instead of carrying your burdens or your anxieties yourself, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares or cast your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. So the first step in dealing with our anxiety is acknowledging Jesus doesn't want us carrying these things. Rather, we are to place them at his feet or put them in his hands. Why? Because he cares for you. Or back in our passage, Matthew 6:32, the Father knows that you need these things. Why be filled with worry, cares, and concerns when the Father is caring for you and he knows that you have these needs? His grace is sufficient for us in our time of need. Why worry about tomorrow? I'll be there tomorrow. In fact, I know tomorrow. I know what the future holds. And you can't change the future. But I'm there too. So Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be filled with worry, cares, concerns. Come in here and rest. Sit under the shadow of my wing. Let me carry your burdens because they're too heavy for you anyways. I'll protect, I'll provide, I'll sustain because I care for you. Well, how do we do this? How do we let go of those worries that fill our hearts? How do we give up our burdens? How do we do this process of giving the rocks in our backpack over to the Lord? How do we cast them off of ourselves and place them in God's hands? Well, here we find three parts to this answer. The first way we give up our anxiety is by giving our cares to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is the first part to this answer. I referenced earlier 1 Peter 5, cast your cares on the Lord. We read from Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. So the first part of the solution is not only saying, I'm not going to be anxious, I'm also going to, instead of spending time and worry and care and working myself up into a tizzy, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to put my cares and concerns in His able hands. I'm going to tell the Lord what I need. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer is? Telling the Lord your needs. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So you go to the Lord in prayer, casting your cares on the Lord, and then with thanksgiving, acknowledging the blessings that He has already given. So the first step in dealing with our anxiety is when anxiety fills your heart, you go to the Lord in prayer. The second step is that you answer doubting weak faith with strong, steadfast resolve. Remember the rebuke that Jesus gave to the disciples in Matthew 8? What did Jesus say to His disciples? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so filled with worry and doubt? Oh, you of little faith. We'll find the same thing in our passage in Matthew 6, verse 30. Why do you doubt, oh, you of little faith? Anxiety and fear are directly linked to doubting, troubled, overwhelmed faith. So the solution is to meet weak faith with strong faith. To answer the doubting thought with a trusting thought. I like to say it this way. You preach the truth to yourself. My heart, my fallen, sinful, finite heart is prone to go this way. I'm not going to go down that path. I'm going to remind myself of God's promises. Answer the doubting thought with a trusting thought. Mark 9 puts it like this. That was the little boy's father who was crying out to Jesus. Mark 9, the boy's father says this, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So instead of choosing anxiety and going down that path, you choose faith. You answer the nagging doubt with a cry of faith. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know I am in the hands of a loving Father. Or as the sheep watched by their shepherd, the little lamb cries out, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the valley of the shadow of death, but I know I'm in the care of a loving, good shepherd. I say that to myself, and I remind myself of this truth. And brothers and sisters, if you've ever had the opportunity to sit by the bed of someone who is approaching the last hours of their life, and to hear them say this, or when they hear this troubling, trying diagnosis, and this child of God says something like this, I don't know how this is going to work out. This is really hard. But I believe that God is still in control. I believe that Jesus Christ has purchased me and I belong to Him, body and soul, in life and in death. Maybe you've heard some of your friends or loved ones say this when they're in the hospital or facing some trial. I know that God is sovereign, and I know that God is good. Instead of going down the path of anxiety, I'm going to choose the path of faith. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Yes, this is hard, but I believe God's promises. That's the confession that God's people can make. Firmly in the hands of a loving Savior. So we meet the anxiety with a statement of faith. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. So the second way we respond to our anxiety is refusing to allow our hearts, our thoughts, to go down that path. Instead, we choose the path of faith and belief. And the third part, the third way we respond to anxiety is by giving ourselves a history lesson. We give ourselves a history lesson. Remember what God has done. We think upon the past. Often when you read the Old Testament, you read words like, remember. You set up these pillars in the wilderness so the Israelites would remember. What has God done for you in the past? Think upon his works. Remember his promises. Has our God not parted the sea? Has Jesus not walked on the raging waves and calmed the troubled sea? Remember when Jesus healed the sick, fed the thousands, raised the dead? Indeed, our own passage has a history lesson that brings our direction to creation. Jesus says, consider. Instead of being filled with anxiety, Jesus says, consider. Jesus says, remember. What do we need to remember? Look at the birds. Remember the birds. What has God done for the birds? Well, he gives them provisions. He gives them a nest, a home. He takes care of the sparrows that are sold for a penny. Remember the grass of the field that's here today, cut off and thrown in the furnace. They used to burn grass to heat their homes and to cook their food. Remember the grass. Remember, consider. Has God forsaken these things? Surely he will provide for you. Hasn't the Father already given you the most precious gift? If the Father's already given his Son, Jesus Christ, sending his only begotten Son to this world to take on our flesh, to die a cruel death, if the Father loves you so much that he gave his Son for you, will he forsake you now? Or Jesus Christ? Jesus has already died for your sins. Do you think he's going to forsake you now? If he's already purchased you with his precious blood, is he going to neglect you in your time of need? So the third part of the answer of how we deal with anxiety is to remember, to consider, to recite how God has rescued his people in the past, and remember how God has rescued you. So the command that Jesus gives in verse 25, 31, and 34 have grounds included in this passage, teaching us how we are to respond to our anxiety. So we, three parts. We go to the Lord in prayer. We respond to the challenge of anxiety with a statement of faith. And we remember, we consider God's mighty works. Now there's a lot more to unpack in our passage. We're going to continue by looking at these verses in 2 weeks from now, Lord willing. But suffice it to say that the solution to anxiety begins when we take the cares from our own shoulders, those worried, troubled thoughts, and we cast them on the Lord. And we look to his hand. Because Jesus Christ has set us free from bondage to the idols of this world and to the anxiety of the cares and concerns of today. So we need not worry, because he will protect and provide. To conclude, anxiety is a real problem that many of us face today. We all face it. Some of you may have versions of PTSD, having gone through trials and something comes up and that cold sweat, that racing heart, that weight upon your shoulders returns. We think of what might be. But today Jesus Christ exposes the problem of anxiety in a busy and fallen world. But more than just exposing the problem, he points to the solution. Fear not, little children. you are in the hands of a loving Father. Fear not, little sheep, you are in the arms of a loving shepherd. So when you are afraid, trust in him. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder and reassuring comfort that you hold us and you hold our future, that we need not be consumed with cares and worries and concerns of things beyond our control, because you are sovereign and you are good. So when we are filled with anxiety, may we respond with prayer and faith. May we remember your great works. May we ponder your promises. And may we find refuge under your almighty wing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.